Well, I appreciate that preaching. I've actually been studying a little bit out of Isaiah 40 myself. And Brother Ken, I don't know if you remember this, but in at the preacher's meeting in Hartsville, Brother Alan Montgomery made a reference to this verse right here. And those three different things that it mentions, we'll mount up with wings as eagles, we'll run and not be weary, we'll walk and not faint. You know, I don't find it so hard when things are good to sow around. I don't find it so hard to run my race when there's other folks. What I find it hard to do is just walk with God. When I'm right by myself and they can't nobody else do nothing for me but me, that's what I find it hard to do. I'm sure that somebody else will bear witness with that tonight. For us vertically challenged people, I'm going to move that microphone so somebody can see my face. Amen. I'm sure some of y'all were thinking that, so I'll go on and tell it for you. I had a man tell me one time, I knew him for a long time. He umpired a bunch of ball games that I played in through the years. He actually, I saw him out in the parking lot. He was going to umpire a college game that I was fixing to play in. And I had told a bunch of the boys that played on my team that I saw him. And I had remembered what he'd said my whole life, I guess. He was a really, really small man. And when I can call him small, that means he's pretty small. But I told the boys before he ever got up there that he used to always say, "I'm just as big as you are. I'm just wound a little tighter." So for all of you tonight, I'm just as big as you are. I'm just wound a little tighter. Well, everybody loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
I sure am glad to be in His presence tonight. And I'll just be perfectly honest with you. These four messages that I got wrote down right here. And I ain't real sure where to go. Just be truthful with you. But I believe that God's confirmed some things to me. If you will, turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Verse number 1 says, "Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubim. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God." Well, wouldn't it be a bad thing to die right beside the presence of God? Let us pray. Father, we love you tonight. We sure do thank you for your presence. God, I need your help. Lord, I care nothing but about your glory falling, your presence being known to these people. Speak to our hearts. God, give me liberty to preach. We'll be careful to thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I meant to do this just a minute ago, but I'm gonna stop preaching for a second. I just want to talk to you. I haven't said anything to Amanda about this, but I'm sure she will. She'll be all right with me saying it. This church has been good to us. I want to say thank you. Y'all know the battles and the storms, Brother Ben, that we've dealt with, we've been through, that we're going through. Well, thank God we're going through them. Amen. We're not going to stay in them. Amen. There's coming a great getting up morning. It may last till I'm gone. But I'm going to go one day. Amen. Thank God I'm going. Amen. And all the cares of this world will be gone. I thank this church for being friends to us and helping us, encouraging us in our time of need and being friends to us. We love you. Sure, thank you for what you do for us. Now, let me get back to preaching. Yesterday, any of you that were in the meeting that we were in yesterday, you heard a whole lot about keep on keeping on. But there's one thing that stuck out to me, the second preacher that preached, and I don't even know his name, but he was talking about the glory of God, talking about the presence of God. And we heard all of that this morning. It sure is good, by the way, to go to a place when you know you can feel the presence of God. What a blessing it is. Brother Tim, you said it, that a lot of us that are here, we take for granted that it may happen like this everywhere. Let me say that I hadn't preached in a whole lot of places, Brother Ken. I know you've preached in a whole lot more places than I have. But I do know this. There's a whole lot more places where God wants to be than where God is. Now, when I said that, I said that on purpose. We don't need to think of ourselves on a higher limb just because the presence of God is in this place. Because, you see, God wants to be everywhere. And I'm talking about God is everywhere. I understand that. But He manifests Himself in some people that want Him. You know where God is? Where He's wanted. That's where God is. I sure am glad that I can go to the house of God where I know that some people want some of what He has for them. That is a great blessing that we don't need to take for granted. I've tried to instill in our young people just that, if nothing else. The absolute presence of God is one thing that cannot be substituted for. There's a generation that does not know God. We know that. And if I can just get a few of them, a handful of them, to understand that this thing is worth fighting for, the true and absolute ways of God are worth fighting for, and that can get down in some of them's soul so deep that they won't walk away from the presence of God, oh, what a wonderful thing it'd be. There's got to be somebody run this place in 40 years, preacher. I sure don't want it to go to the world's crowd, and I don't want it to go to the liberal crowd or the legal crowd. I want it to stay with the Lord's crowd. Amen. I'm not going to preach to us about what we are doing. I'm going to preach to us about what I hope we don't do. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we know that the Ark of God is one of the pictures. There's many, but that's one of the pictures of the presence of God in the Old Testament. Amen? Well, thank God for His presence even in the Old Testament. Thank God for His presence in the New Testament. Somebody say amen. You know, there's a lot of things that the presence of God will give you. Salvation comes from His presence. Unless you've ever felt the presence of God, there's no way that you're born again. Satisfaction, thank God, comes in the presence. I've never been more satisfied than when the Holy Ghost of God comes in like He did this morning. Hallelujah. He came in last night. Bless His name. Thank God for His presence. Sanctification is in His presence. You get close enough to God, you're going to get sanctified away from some of the things of this world. Well, I think my pastor will like this. There ain't no schedule in His presence. He'll tear up a program, thank God. Separation is in His presence. I sure am glad He's separated a people and He's put them where we can worship. Well, bless His name tonight. We've got a whole lot of profession, preacher, but we ain't got a whole lot of possession. Possession comes from the presence of God. We got a lot of pretenders, but we don't have very many defenders. I want to be guilty of defending the faith, not pretending about the faith. Amen? We got a whole lot of folks that wear masks when they come in the house of God. They just pretending. They just professing. They ain't got no possession. You see, I possess Christ because Christ possesses me, thank God. I'm in Him because He's in me. Well, you see here, the ark of God is being moved. Let me get to preaching so I can hurry up. It said in verse 1, again, David gathered together all chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God. There is a habitation of the presence. You see, in the Old Testament, right here in this particular verse, the ark of God was the presence of God. Amen? Well, thank God that in the day that we live, we don't have to worry about toting around a box to have the presence of God. I'm like you, preacher. I don't have to set my golden little statue up here. My God can't be moved. Thank God He can't be moved. I'm on a rock. Now that rock can't be moved. In case you didn't know it, the rock is the Lord Jesus. Upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I'm glad that He went before us and we're standing on the rock. The habitation of the presence. Secondly, and this is going to get real right here. Verse number 3, the heaviness of the presence. Oh goodness, how many times has the presence of God fell heavy on a saint of God? It said in verse 3, and they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. They set the ark of God on a new cart. My goodness. They decided that it wasn't good enough to tote no more, preacher. You do understand that the ark of God had little rings on it. It had things that went down into it, and there was rings that came off of that thing, and it was meant to have rods that run through four rings, two on each side. There was supposed to be four men that actually carried the presence of God. Boy, would it do us some good if we just pick it up off the cart again. Some of us might have laid it down, put it on a cart because we thought it got too heavy for us to carry. Well, thank God it does get heavy sometimes, but it ain't ever too hard to carry the presence of God. It don't ever get too heavy to keep a carrying. If you've been putting it down, you just pick it back up for the glory of God and go one more mile. Yes, it was meant to be toted by hand, and instead they sat it not just on a cart, but see, they sat it on a new cart. My Bible still says in Jeremiah 6:16, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, Oh, where is the good way? And ye shall find rest for your souls. Well, the old way still works. Now, I don't want to be foolish enough to think that just because it's old, it's good. There's a whole lot of things that technology and today has brought us that I wouldn't turn 50 years ago down for, I promise you. For anybody that farms, thank God for a real good tractor. Amen, Brother Mark. It'd be kind of tough to be picking up hay with a pitchfork. Thank God for the things that are new, that make our life a little bit easier. It's not good just because it's old. But it's old because it's good. Yes, sir. It's old because it's good. I'm talking about the things of God. You see, if I go and buy one of my young'uns a toy, Brother Lager, you can attest to this right here. Nowadays, my kids will break a toy in about 3 days. They ain't made the way they used to be made. Now, 50 years ago, I kid you not, and I say Lager can attest to this, we still go to my grandmother's on Sunday afternoon after church. Somebody say amen right there for a good grandma that can still cook. Thank God for homemade biscuits. Well, there's two or three toys that my young'uns play with now that I played with when I was a little kid. And I think my mama may have played with when she was a little kid. There's a little apple, and I have no idea what this thing is other than an apple. It's about that big around. And I kid you not, that thing's been dropped on the floor 100 times. I'm worried about it breaking the floor. I ain't worried about it breaking. I'm worried about it breaking the floor. Somebody dropped it a couple weeks ago, and I said, Lord, somebody check that tile, make sure it didn't break. It's old because it's good. The old ways of God are still good, people. Young people, you won't always be young. But the old ways of God will still always be the old ways of God. If you'll just seek them and ask for them and walk therein, you will find rest for your soul. Otherwise, you ain't going to find any rest for your soul. You might find satisfaction in your flesh. You might find somebody that'll pat you on the back every time you turn around. You might find a place where you can vote on somebody. The old ways still work. Ask for them. He'll put you in them if you'll ask for them. But the heaviness of the presence. Brother Ken. Right over there. On January the 3rd. I had no idea my pastor was here. I had gotten the worst news I'd ever had in my life. And it weighed pretty heavy on this preacher. I was actually working here that day. I had been doing some work, and my wife called me, and I went to Carrollton to be with her, and then I came back. I found it impossible to do anything but come back. And when I got back, I did see, I had talked with Brother Ken. That's the day we got the news about our daughter. And I saw his vehicle sitting right over there. I had no idea where he was. But I came right over there. And oh, the heaviness. I couldn't even kneel down. I had to just lay down in the floor. But I couldn't even pray. All I could do was just cry. But oh, when I got back up and I started back to the house, I got about halfway home and Some of that stuff you can't explain what's happening in my truck. You see, God revealed Himself a little bigger than He'd ever revealed Himself to me in my life. The presence of God filled the truck that I was driving. And I'll be absolutely truthful with you. I ain't real sure how I got to the house. I'm glad that even in our heaviness, the presence is still real. And you'll find that sometimes the presence will be more real in your heaviness than any time of your life. There is a heaviness to the presence. Don't lay it down just because it's heavy. Don't run away just because something might get a little hard to bear. The handling of the presence. Verse number 6. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. For the oxen shook it, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. I'm talking about the handling of the presence. The presence of God is one thing that God takes extremely serious. I've already said what we have here is not everywhere. I thank God for a pastor that knows how to listen to the Holy Ghost. I thank God for some people that know how to listen to a pastor. Amen. And I thank God for some people that know how to listen to the Holy Ghost. You see, this man handled it wrong. You know, the ark of God was not meant to be touched by human hands. That's how serious God takes His business. And you see, Uzzah just reached up. He thought it was going to fall. He thought he was just going to keep it from falling off the cart. Well, the problem is not so much that he was trying to keep it from falling. I think probably the biggest problem is it was on the cart to start with. Yeah. And I didn't even see that till right now. But he touched it, and he wasn't supposed to touch it. And God killed him graveyard dead, and if you study, he cut him in half is what he done. Let's be careful how we handle the presence of God, people. God does take it very seriously, and He could take His hand off His place tomorrow if He decided to. You see, the Bible says God inhabits the praise of His people. And we are the tabernacle of God. You see, we're not toting the presence around. It's not sitting up here on the communion table. We bring it in here with us. And I believe we'd see a whole lot more of what went on this morning if we'll bring Him in here with us, people. The handling of the presence. You come to church ready to have church. And I believe you'll have it. The harboring of the presence. Verse number 11. The ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Would it be an amazing thing if we got close enough to God that He would rest in our home and His divine holy presence fill our house for 3 months? I believe if that happened at your house, you'd have a different house after that 3 months. Amen. Let's take Him home with us, folks. Let's keep Him at home with us. Let's let Him dwell in our home. Young people, you don't have folks that come with you. You can tote the presence with you. And if you keep on toting it home, eventually it'll rub off. I believe that. Some of you that have been raised in the house of God, by the way, I want to say thank God for some mamas and daddies that know something about the presence of God, that they want their youngins to be around it. We had 22 young people last night, preacher, that went on a Saturday night. Hallelujah. Let me say, the world ain't got all of them. And there is still some that want some of the presence of God. You keep following Jesus, young people. And the last thing in verse number 14 is the happiness of the presence. You see, over here, right after Uzzah got killed, David was displeased, it says in verse number 8. I mean, David got mad. How many of you, when something happened bad, you got displeased? Somebody said something you didn't like. And you got so displeased, you just went and took your ball and you went to the house. Or you sat on a pew for 6 months, mad at somebody, waiting on them to come apologize to you. If there's something wrong, it's your fault. Because if you got something against somebody and you do not go to them, it's your fault. Just read your Bible. I ain't got time for all that. But in verse number 14, after David got over himself a little bit, thank God you can get over yourself. And if you want some of the presence, you better get over yourself. This thing ain't about your feelings. It's about the presence of God. And verse 14 says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting. It is okay to shout in the house of God. Around His presence. I'm going to tell you something. When the presence falls, I have a problem with folks that don't want to do something. It makes me want to shout. It makes me want to praise His good name. He is worthy of our praise tonight, people. With shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. The happiness of the presence. I'm glad that the presence of God brings great joy in my life. What a blessing it is to come to a place where He inhabits His people. And we can praise Him because His presence is in our life. I don't know if any of y'all are here tonight and you ain't ever even felt the presence of God. But I sure hope tonight, when you leave here, you'll know what it's like to feel the manifested presence of God. I love you. Thank you.